Well, hello there, listener. It's Eric. I just wanted to say a quick hello before we get started and say thanks for tuning in. This episode actually marks the 1 year anniversary of the show, of the podcast, which I'm super excited about. And I'm definitely starting off this second year of the podcast with an amazing guest and an amazing episode, which I can't wait for you to listen to. But whether this is your first time or your 41st time listening to the podcast, I just want to say I appreciate you. Now, not only is my guest in this episode a recent feature in a video on the amazing Yes Theory YouTube channel, not only is she a talented artist, but she also has an incredible story. Along with her sister and her sisters and her mother, my guest often found herself sleeping in a car or on people's floors, couches, all throughout high school, and consistently finding herself brushing her teeth and getting ready in a school bathroom because of a broken relationship between her mother and her mother's ex-boyfriend. In a situation like that, it's pretty easy to feel like a victim of life, to question, why is this happening to me? And my guest certainly had that thought, as she will later share in this episode. But in listening to her, I was amazed at how she continues to radiate so much love and hope and joy, and moving past that victim mentality to make the best of a situation. My guest is an inspiration. So, without any further delay, I'd love to introduce you to my guest and to my new friend, Symphony. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Eric Chow Empowers podcast. I'm your host, Eric Chow, and this is episode 41. We have another Yes Fam in on the show. This is the sixth Yes Fam guest I've had on. For those of you who haven't listened to the past several episodes, the Yes Fam is a community based around an amazing YouTube channel called Yes Theory. If you haven't watched them, I don't know what the hell you're doing. Go watch them. Today, my guest is Symphony, and actually, well, I suppose I'll tell them a little bit about how you and I met in a little bit. But Symphony, tell the audience a little bit about yourself and who you are.
So I am 17. I live in East LA, right? Like in the hood, sort of thing. So I grew up in like a low income community. I'd like to say I'm an artist.
I think so. I think so.
Oh, thank you. I'm an artist. I dabble in a bunch of other stuff, but I feel like that's a good general statement.
Love it. So let's start by talking about how you and I know each other, because this is with as with all my Yes Fam friends, it's always a great story. So let's start with this. So you told me before we got on the episode, but how long ago did you find Yes Theory?
So I started like watching them a couple years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago or something like that.
And how did you find them? Do you remember?
I do actually. Me and my sister were like super into like scary stuff, you
Okay.
know? So we were just on YouTube. We were looking at like a bunch of like scary videos or whatever, and we came across the like abandoned mall video. And I guess from there we were like, oh my God, I love their energy. And then we just kind of
Binged,
binged, yeah.
yeah. Wow. So that was like the first video you ever watched. That's amazing.
It's wild.
That's so cool. Okay. So you found Yes Theory 4 or 5 years ago with your sister, and you guys start binging them and watching them all the time. And then they reach out to you. So tell me this story.
So I like sort of subscribed to like the number, that they have that they send out to people in LA. And I got this text that was like, hey, like we need like LA high school seniors to come in, you know, like, right. I was like, oh my gosh, this is me for once. Like I can actually do something. And so, but I wasn't confident enough in me actually being able to sort of sell myself. So I took a screenshot, I sent it to my sister and I was like, yo, you have to nominate me. Like, please, I really, like, I need this. And I didn't actually think I was going to get it, but I was like, my best bet is her. And sure enough, she kind of, in like 10 minutes, she like just makes up like a little quick text. She sends it over. And next thing I know, they like hit her back up and they're like, do you want to FaceTime? And then it was just wild.
Okay, so you guys get a oh my god. Okay, so you guys get a text. You guys, your sister responds because you're nervous. And then they're like, yo, you want to FaceTime? Okay, so how long ago was this?
Well, this was right. This is like while they were trying to do the drive-in graduation, which is why they needed the seniors.
Yeah.
So it was at
May, June?
I think, yeah, somewhere in June.
Okay. Okay. And then, so y'all hop on FaceTime. Who is it? All three of them? Like, who is it?
It's Thomas. It's just
okay.
Thomas.
Amazing.
And which is still like crazy, though, you know?
First of all, is he at the apartment or is he at the S house? It's not an important question at all, but I don't know. I feel like I have to ask.
I think he was at the S house. I'm like pretty sure. Like, yeah. 90% sure.
Oh my god. Okay, and then how did it go? Did you black out? Like, I don't know.
A little bit, yeah. Obviously I was like freaking out and I was like, I need to like, I don't know, do something or like put something on. I don't even know. So I ended up putting on these earrings that I made because I was like, why not?
Oh, that you made. Okay. That makes it extra cool. Oh. Thank you.
But it ended up like insanely backfiring because it kept hitting the mic. And it was so embarrassing because at one point my sister's like, Symphony, like you should take off your earrings, like we can't hear what you're saying. But like the actual FaceTime call itself was super cool because like it wasn't just me and Thomas, it was like me, Thomas, and my sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of us were in different places at the time, so
oh.
It was really nice to be able to just kind of like all be on the same Zoom call, and they wow. really helped me like stay calm and stay like sane and not scream.
Yeah
So
wow. Okay, so how many times did you guys talk before doing anything?
We had that one FaceTime call,
yeah,
and then Thomas hit up my sister Melody and he was like, you know what, actually, like we can't do the drive-in graduations anymore.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of radio silence for a while. And next thing we know, she gets another text and he's like, oh, we want to make like custom sweaters for all the kids that didn't get to the graduation.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's still like super cool and amazing. But obviously, you know, I was a little let down that
yeah,
we weren't
going
to be able to
yeah.
see them. Cause that would just be
a dream. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then next thing I know, she gets another text and they ask her when my birthday is.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, she replied and then they hit her up and they're like, we want to take Symphony to Arizona. But this all happened like overnight, sort of, or maybe not overnight, but I had slept.
Right. So you're gone. Okay. So
yeah,
this is
so
all happening without your knowledge.
Happening.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
This is awesome.
She's at a different house, so she's trying to call me and wake me up for hours, and I'm just not waking up at all. It's not happening.
Are you a heavy sleeper or what?
Yeah.
Okay, me too. Don't worry about it. I'll sleep through, like, earthquakes. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to die if there's an earthquake. I'm just going to die.
Right?
Don't worry about it.
It's okay. But, yeah, so I wake up to, like, 26 calls from her, and she's like, dude, you need to, like, answer right now. And she tells me, and then like 10 minutes later I'm FaceTiming Amar and Thomas and we're all talking about it, and I don't know, it all just happened so fast.
Okay, so that wow. Okay, so this happens, you get a you did you I know you guys took a COVID test, and then you go over to the yes house, which by the way I'm super jealous of. but you go over to the yes house, and then y'all head out for Arizona. So wait, it's you, Amar, Thomas, Lexi, and then your sisters, right?
Yeah, like
And
my sisters were there at the S house, but they didn't go on the trip.
okay, so okay, and then of course the what's the guy who's filming again?
Corey.
I love you, Corey. I'm sorry if you're
Love you,
listening to
man.
this. I appreciate you.
So much.
Okay.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Wow. Okay. And then how was it just like hanging out with them? How was that?
It was unreal. Just absolutely unreal. And it's funny because there was a certain point where there was this music playing in the background, and we were all just kind of doing our own thing. It was one of those moments where it's like everybody's not talking right now. They're kind of,
Yeah.
trying to like look at the plans or look at their plane ticket or something like that. And I distinctly remember hearing the music and looking around at them and thinking in my head, like, why are they playing this music? They're gonna get copyrighted. Because like in my head I thought I was watching a YouTube video, and I was just like, it was so unreal that I would look around and
You
I
thought you
knew
were
it was
watching a
there.
video.
Yeah, but I thought it was a video, and that's pretty much how it was. It was just, I felt it was like an out of body experience.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. Like the memory of like meeting them and stuff is like, I feel like it didn't happen to me. I feel like I watched somebody else meet them. Like
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
that's amazing. Okay. Okay, so you guys do the trip. You guys come back to the Yes house. Like, how is it after the trip? Because that feels interesting to me. Like, how is it after the trip? Y'all are back at the Yes house.
So I guess the plan at first was like when the plane lands, I would just kind of go home, type thing. Or like I would go get tested and then go home, but I would get tested on my own, but then I found out that all of our appointments were at the same time. So Amar was just kind of like, you can hang out until until the appointment, and then like then your mom can pick you up and you can leave and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, for sure. And then I guess I kind of turned out that like after the appointment they still had the
Of course, it's
surprise.
all planned.
So
Yeah. Fucking
yeah, so
bastards. Yeah.
it was definitely a lot longer than I thought it would be, but that was just made it so much more, I don't know, just amazing. Because they're, I guess, like in my head on the plane ride back, I was kind of feeling down. And you ever have those moments where like you're in the moment and it's so beautiful, but because you know it's gonna end, you
Yeah.
can't help but just feel like, damn.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. And so I was having, I think all of us kind of were probably feeling that, along with being tired, like on the plane ride back and on the drive
Sure.
back. But once we got to the appointment, at that point I was like, well, now I'm on borrowed time,
Yeah.
Like there's no ticking time bomb anymore. I could just kind of do whatever and it doesn't have to like be sad. Like I might as well just
That's
be in
really
the
awesome.
moment.
Yeah.
So it was really nice.
That's so sick. Okay. Awesome. And then how did it feel when you like got back home? Like you're like it's done, trip's done, you're at home, you've done the testing, this is all over, and everyone's gone away and you're just like sitting alone. How is this? Like how do you feel then?
It's funny because I feel like I didn't even have like an alone time,
Interesting. Okay.
Right, like when we got back, it was just me talking to my sisters for like hours and hours and hours, telling them all the crazy stories and just like fun little quirky things that happened. So
Yeah.
it was definitely one of those like moments of reflection, I'd say.
Epic. So, by the way, for the audience, so in case you're like a little confused and you haven't figured it out by now, Symphony was in a Yes Theory video. I'm gonna link that in the episode description for anyone who like once you're done listening to the episode, finish listening first. Please, that'd be really nice. But listen to the episode and then you can go ahead and watch the video because one, it's a great video, like in general. and you guys go somewhere epic. So
Sure.
that's all, that's amazing. And then of course, go for Symphony. Also, can I just say, when you told me your sister's name was Melody, my mind go, what the? That's amazing. Okay, wait, so you have two sisters, right? So Symphony, Melody, what's the third one?
Harmony.
That's fucking brilliant. Your parents are awesome, yo. That's so
Thank
awesome. That's so
you.
sick.
And you know, all of our like middle names are like flowers and stuff, but
Dang, that's
yeah.
awesome. Okay, so you want to tell them how you and I know each other?
Yeah, for sure. So I wasn't expecting, well, I wasn't sure what would happen after the video came out. You know, I was like, well, they didn't even say my Instagram in the video or in the description or anything. So I was like, no one's gonna really hit me up. Like, it'll be fine. There's probably gonna be comments, but like, it'll be totally fine. Within like 2 hours, I had like over 100 DMs, and it was just this most just wild thing because I was like, I don't even know what to do. I don't know what to do. Like, there's a lot, and I'm not used to this. You know, I'm still not really used to it. And I just kind of, you know, I went through them and I replied to each one because I just felt really bad, like that someone would take the time to contact me and I didn't contact back. You know, so I had to do
Yeah.
every single one, and you know, I stumbled upon yours, and it was crazy because like. You know, obviously we don't know each other, and we've never talked before. It's completely just strangers, and you're asking me to be in a podcast, and it was crazy because I've never been in a podcast before, and it was just the sweetest thing though, because I was like, this feels really nice to like be like recognized and to sort of like it made me feel like the bios or the
I mean, you can say it. You can go for it.
like the experience with Guest 3, like it wasn't over just yet. You
Yeah.
know, it's like you could live on through the community. And when you said you were part of like Yes Fam and stuff, it was like, even though we'd never talked before, I was like, yeah, like we're like, yes, this is happening. Like, you just seem like such a bright person, and like I just want to be friends with you already. So that was really cool.
I remember when I was like, so okay, I remember I watched the video and I don't remember what was happening that day because I have no idea. But I think it was Thursday, right? And I think in the morning I'd been talking to some Yes Fam friends. I think that was one of the things that was happening that I do remember. And then the whole day goes by and at some point I sit down and I watch the video. And I was like, okay, video is great. Everything I've already said. And then I think what I did was I think I went to Instagram and I found your profile. I don't remember. I think it was off of one of the Yes Theory posts. Like they posted about you, and then I saw your tag. I was like, oh shit. So I clicked it, and then I saw you had posted about it, obviously. So I clicked that, and then like it, read it. I'm like scrolling through comments a little bit, and then I commented. And then I think you liked the comment at some point, like later. And at that point, I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'm DMing her. Like, it's done. Because I didn't even think about it. I didn't even think about it. And then I was like, fuck it. You liked it. I'm going back. So I was writing the DM. And the way I kind of, you know how I told you, like, you said you were nervous in the beginning. You know how I told you I know it's going to be good? It's because I usually, like, I feel like I get this feeling that I know, no, I just know it's going to be good. I just know it. Just because I feel like I have a good vibe with the person, one, and also because I know the story is going to be good. And between those two things, both were like checked off in my head, I guess. And it's not even like a decision, it's just like a gut feeling. So I was like, okay, I gotta do it. Like, there's no fucking way I'm not gonna do it. So I just sent it. And honestly, I'll be honest with you, like, I did not expect you to say yes. I did not think you were, I didn't even know if you were gonna read it. I was like, I'm gonna just send it. If she reads it, the first thing she's gonna say, see is a thing, like You're awesome. That's basically what the first paragraph is, right? You're awesome. And then like there's a section that said, hey, would you want to come on my podcast, basically, right? In fancier words. And I was like, that's it. That's all I need. I don't even care. But then we were texting a little bit, and then you said yes. I'm like, fuck, all right, perfect. Dope. So here we are. Here we are.
I mean, you would know, right? Like you've done this so many times, like gotta follow that gut feeling.
100%. That's all I do. That's all I do. That's why I started.
But I really appreciate that too, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad we're here. So, in the video with the S Theory, you told a little bit of your story. But, in a Yes Theory video, it's a little limited on time and all that good stuff. There are no limitations here. You can take as long as you want. I mean, please don't talk for like 2 hours. Don't do that to me. but take as much time as you want. I want to kind of hear your story a little bit.
Let's see where to start. I don't, I guess I'll just I'll continue off of, or like I'll recap what I said in the video.
Yeah, that's a good start.
So there was a period of time where, you know, like as I said in the video, my mom and her boyfriend were going through a rough patch. And the house that we lived in at the time was his. So in his head, he thought it'd be a really great idea to just kind of kick us out.
Kick you out, yeah.
So you know, things happen really fast, right? It's like from one day to the next, you kind of find yourself just sort of scrambling to like find a place to like sleep and stuff.
And how old are you then when you were guys were kicked out?
So the first time
What the fuck? Okay.
The first time I was in ninth grade.
Okay.
So I don't exactly remember my age. I
I
probably
think
was
that's
like
14,
14.
probably. Yeah.
So somewhere along those lines. At that point, it was like me, my mom, and my sister, because my sister
Okay.
was still in high school. So all three of us. And my mom had this like super tiny little car. But, you know, it happened while we were on a break from school. So it's like so much easier, you know, to just
Yeah.
kind of hop in a car and be able to just drive wherever and kind of make it seem like a vacation. And of course it wasn't a vacation, but it had those like attributes to it, right? It's like it kind of felt like a road trip, like you hang out at a motel or something. And it was sort of this, you know, it was kind of a tough experience to go through, but at the same time, it was so short-lived that I was like, okay, well, like it genuinely was just a little vacation. By the time school started back up again, we were back in his house, because they had figured everything out. But progressively, the relationship got worse and worse and worse, and this became sort of a monthly thing. So it definitely got to the point where I would have like a bag full of my stuff just by the door, because I'm like,
Ready.
I already know, I can sort of read the tension that's happening here. I know in a couple days we're gonna be back in that motel, or we'll be back in, like, my Theo offered his floor up a couple times, which was really nice of him, and he definitely would have done more, but he was in between houses, like, and his family, and he has a big family, so he gave us what he could, you know. And my mom doesn't really have any other family besides him. So other than him, it was sort of either the car or motels, and motels get expensive. So it was a car a lot of the times. And
Wow.
eventually it started happening like during school, of course, you know, sort of unavoidable. So at those points, it was a little easier because school has like free bathrooms and stuff. And of course other places do too, but you know, like McDonald's bathrooms aren't the cleanest. And I'm not saying that like high school bathrooms are, but there was like this teacher bathroom that I would go to in the morning. And because we were sort of living out of the car, like my mom could drive us to school super early. So at this point, it was like, this is the cleanest this bathroom's gonna be today. type thing. Yeah, and it was really nice. I grew to really love that routine, actually, or kind of depend on it. And, you know, like, we'd get there, the cold air would be, like, just so, like, crisp and just hurt almost because it was just so cold in the mornings. But then you'd go in and it was, like, this whole space to yourself, and I could brush my teeth and I could brush my hair. And then I would, like, change out of my pajamas and I'd put all the clothes in a bag. And, you know, luckily no one at school really ever asked me what was in the bag. But I'm sure that was like a question that people had around because I just carry this bag on top of my backpack, you know? But then again, like, I think there's so many ways to sort of disguise it, I guess, right? Like, you could put in a duffel bag and then people don't really question it. But I think, like, in that sort of instability, we found routine, you know? And it's, at that point, my sister had gone to college, so it was just me and my mom, which made things just slightly easier, I guess. It's bittersweet because obviously I didn't have my sister to lean on, but because it was just the two of us, things were a little more...
less to worry about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, definitely. There was more space in the car. But I think it was okay, and I was able to deal with it largely because of my sisters and because of the really just beautiful influence that they had and the energy and the positive energy that they gave me. But also, my custody, or the custody of me, is split between my mom and my dad. So this was all happening on my mom's side, which still meant that technically I did have like a bed and at home at my dad's. However, he's never been like an easy man to live with in any sense. And so it's never been like a fun experience in his house ever. So I think throughout my life, I kind of depended on my mom, or like depended on that time with her. Because then I wasn't getting like yelled at all the time and like stuff like that. So when all this was happening with my mom, I couldn't like run over to my dad and be like, oh, this is my safe space. It was kind of like that bathroom at school was really, really my safe space. And I loved it so much. I love the bathroom. But, you know, even with him, he ended up kicking me and my sisters out at the exact same time in senior year, at least. And he just kind of went off on us because I don't even know how to say this. He's just kind of very unstable in so many more ways than one. So he doesn't need like a real reason to sort of go off on you. He just does. And this was one of those moments where he just really decided to just be really violent and upset, and I think me and my sisters at this point were kind of like just really over it. We were over people throwing us out, and we were over like asking ourselves why this was happening to us. And at that point with my dad, that sort of that interaction in just one day, he went off, and then we kind of for the first time ever talked back. And the next thing you know, we didn't have a house. So, there's a lesson to be learned there, I'm sure. But, I think a lot of people in my personal life would sort of hear my story with my mom and then kind of question, like, okay, well, why didn't you go to your dad? Like, isn't that an option? Like, you're making it seem worse than it was. And, of course, it wasn't the worst. You know, like I still had such amazing support from my sisters, and I guess like they made things so lively, and I don't even know how to explain it. I like, for instance, at one point I was at school and my mom picked me up, and you know, through the car windows I could see bags and bags and bags of stuff, right? I could see like I don't know, like a fan in there and like our little like TV that we have, I mean, everything was thrown in the back. So automatically I was like, okay, like this weekend, you know, we're going to be in a motel. We're going to be on someone's floor. Like, it's fine. Like, you mentally prepare yourself for it. And then I get in the car and you know, I'm holding a trash bag on my stomach and there's one pressed up against my head because the car is like jam packed full of our stuff. And at this point it was when my sister was living with us. So she's in the front seat and my mom's driving and Grenade comes on the radio from Bruno Mars. And my mom just blasts it. She turns it right up and Harmony's like screaming and singing it out the window and my mom singing it and me with my face pressed up against the glass, I was singing it too. And it was almost like, it's hard to really feel the pain of these situations when you have such love around you. And it's like, I'm not saying that people need to be positive in like every single situation, you know, and every single bad thing that happens to them. But in this particular situation, it was something that I could handle because I have my sisters, you know?
And so I love this. No, I love that. That's really sick. It's like finding a reason to smile and laugh and in this case, sing.
Yeah.
Even like you don't have to be positive in every situation, but can you find a reason to be?
For sure. Yeah, exactly. And I think especially growing up in an environment where me and my sisters were just kind of all we had, because we don't have very much family here. And like, even with my mom, we're not super close to our parents, you know? So that was it. Like we only had each other growing up. And so you sort of hold on to that. And even in moments where you're like, I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. I don't know what I'm going to eat today. Like, calculus does not have priority right now type moments. It was just, they still radiated. And it was still a really beautiful thing that like I held on to even in those moments.
So certain years in high school have a reputation of being more difficult than others. such as junior year typically is where like a lot of hard classes are, or senior year when you're doing college apps.
Mm-hmm.
So most people either stress out, burn out, or they choose, screw the stereotype of let's do all this and I'm just going to take the easy way out and take easy classes in junior year and just do something easy for college.
Mm-hmm.
So how was it for you dealing with that? I mean, you already mentioned you took calculus, which is most definitely not easy. And I'm good at math. I don't know if you are. I'm good. I tutor calculus, by the way, like fun fact.
Great.
And I still think it sucks. Mr. Peruka, my math teacher, if you're listening to this, I love you. So how was it for you, like, dealing with junior and senior year in particular, on top of everything that you're going through?
I think it's definitely sort of on a spectrum, you know? Like, there were moments where I'd have, like, an essay in front of me, and in my head, I'm like, oh, like, this is going to take so long, it's too hard, like, I can't do this. It's just like, I'm physically like incapable of doing this essay right now. But then I would think to myself like, well, you know what? Like, if I already went through some hard stuff, what is this essay? Like, I can do this essay. It's totally fine. It's not going to kill me. And then there were other moments where I was like, yeah, I actually need to be researching motels right now. And I do not have the time to do this homework. So sometimes it made it easier in a strange way. And then other times it just wasn't a priority, you know, at all. And especially because like junior and senior year, I was taking honor classes, like full honor classes. So it was definitely sort of a struggle. But I think like one of my favorite teachers, he really took the time to sort of talk to me and communicate. He was like, what's going on? Like, I noticed there's something just different about what's happening with you. And so I think with those moments, I was able to really, like, schoolwork didn't stress me out as much as maybe did other people, because the teachers, or some of the teachers, were very understanding of my situation. And of course, you know, you can't talk about all of it because then, you know, people will call it CPS or something, but they were really understanding, which made that a whole lot easier. But I know that for sure with like college apps and stuff, where it's like you can't negotiate with College Board, you know?
Stupid ass College Board.
Exactly.
Fuck College Board. Go
A
on.
100%, yes. But yeah, there were definitely, I know my sister mentioned it on the video, that there was like a period of time where I did have to like write and submit my college apps in a motel. And as odd as that might sound, it actually was sort of a riveting experience. Because it was like really fun. I mean, in a rude way, because I remember my mom, at this point, I don't know where we were. We were somewhere in like the valley or something like that, but we had been living in the car for a little bit, and I was kind of like typing away, you know. I had like a pillow on my lap, and I was like, and she's like, okay, we're gonna need to find like a motel, like somewhere to sleep. So she's like, could you look that stuff up again, like see what's in the area, look at the different rates, stuff like that. I ended up like memorizing motel rates. It's weird, but I remember Harmony being like, oh wait, like you need Wi-Fi to actually like get this done, you know, because my data, I didn't want to rely on that. And it was sort of this, I know people use the expression like chickens with their heads cut off, you know, where you're just running around in a frenzy, but the chaos, it became just funny in a way. Because it's like, okay, like, well, that motel, like, no, go to that motel, like, no, go to that motel, and like, no, look this up. And the whole time, I'm like, wait, guys, I need quiet, I need quiet. Or like, I'm like, Harmony, read over this paragraph. And she's like, wait, no, I'm trying to, like, right? Like, it was just, I mean, personally, I feel like the moments where things like really hurt is when I'm alone and quiet. And that just wasn't there. There was no quiet. You were never alone. So again, like it was hard to feel bad, and it was hard to sort of be like, well, not everyone has to experience this mentality when everyone is just having a great time.
It's like I feel like it's so easy to feel like victimized in that kind of situation. Like you said, like, why is this happening to us, kind of thing. But then when y'all are too busy laughing, there's really no time for
Yeah,
that.
exactly.
Awesome. Okay. So, what role did Yes Theory play in this whole situation? Like, because I know, like you said, it started around your freshman year of high school, which is what, a couple years ago for you. I'm like thinking about what freshman year of high school for me is, and then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not, you're younger than me, and I'm like trying to do math in my head, and it's not going so well.
Calculus tutor.
Don't worry, so many of my friends make fun of me. They're like, yo, you can't even count, dude. Like, you can't even count. You can't even convert time zones in your tutoring calculus. I don't know how it works either, to be honest with you. I promise I'm a good tutor if anyone needs it.
I'll probably hit you up later.
Go for it. I'll give you a discount rate. Where are you going for college?
UCLA, actually.
Okay.
So that should be really exciting, hopefully.
That's amazing. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Okay. And then what about your sisters?
Well, Harmony is. she's gonna go into like her last year at USC, and okay. then Mel went to USC, and then she went to Harvard, but now she's out.
Okay, awesome, awesome. That's super cool. But yeah, what role did Yes Theory play sort of while you're dealing with all of this?
They were sort of like this safe space, you know, because their videos are just brilliant. I mean, there's this energy in them that you can't help but smile when you look at their videos, you know, and not even smile, but like just be inspired. Like you watch them and you leave them feeling, or at least like personally, like I've left so many feeling fulfilled and thinking like, you know what, like I could do this. Like I can go out and talk to some strangers if I wanted to. It's totally fine. And so in these times, they were, as cheesy as it sounds, they were definitely like this like shining light, and it just never dimmed. It never dimmed. There was never a video where I was like, okay, that was mediocre. Like never, you know, it didn't matter how I felt. It didn't matter how much like of a funk I was in. I would watch their videos and I would leave them just thinking like, yeah, I could do some art right now. And that's like I could actually do that. It's not just a thought. It's something that I could put my mind to and create. And I think especially when Amar came out with his story of his dad, and that being so insanely similar to my situation, I couldn't help but feel like it from there it became like, oh, you guys are funny, like cool. I go to you in times of need or just when I want to be entertained. It sort of went to this like personal connection. And even though they have no idea who I am, you know, but in my head, I'm like, I need to talk to you. I need to meet you. And I almost feel like I am through your videos. And there's this gorgeous just transferring of energy and this like healing happening. Their videos are so healing. And for Amar to be so open about that, it definitely helped me to sort of take my mind out of this like victim mentality, like you were talking about, and sort of think of it as like, okay, well, maybe this is something that happened. Maybe it wasn't the nicest thing, but that doesn't mean that I have to stay in this bad place. Mm. Like I can use this as momentum for art. I can write a story about this. I can make art about this and heal from it. That's exactly what they were.
It's interesting to me when you said like they're like a healing factor, because I was like, oh, that's interesting. It's an interesting way of putting it. And I kind of thought of it as, it's like, it's not really like they're healing away all the problems. It's more like they're bringing back that simple form of what it means to be human. It's kind of where like my mind went. God, like, where the fuck did my mind go? That's like so like philosophical, whatever. But like, that's like where my mind went. Like, it just went to how simple they make it. Like, they just bring human existence to such a simple version of it that is just enjoyable. And I think that sense of, you know, sometimes we feel like life is complicated and messed up and chaotic, but then some, you just like flip it on its head and it's simple sometimes.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they are. They're definitely, they have this like element to them that is so genuine.
Yeah.
And honest. It's like there's no negativity. There's no hate. But they introduce like negative concepts, but then
yeah,
like grow from them, you know. It's like they themselves are not negative people, but then they talk about life and they talk about other people's lives, and they just there's so much love there that it really is such a gorgeous environment, you know, even coming from an audience member. Like, you know, a while back, you and I, we didn't know these people, but we still felt this connection to them. And that's such a gorgeous thing to be able to do that through a screen.
Yeah. I mean, we don't even met. We're here, look at us. okay, awesome. Awesome. You mentioned your art, and I do want to talk about this. So how did you get into it, first of all?
Well, my dad's an artist, sort of. Okay. He, not like professionally, he's never sold anything at all, but he definitely, like in his house, there was just always supplies. Just always, you know, there was always paint, or sometimes he would, he'd put paper, he'd tape it across the kitchen table, and then he'd just like leave crayons there. And you know, next thing you know, a couple hours later, there's all these drawings on the table and like words and just, you know, so it was, he definitely cultivated this like creative environment for us, 100%. I don't think he ever meant for us to really love it. You know, it wasn't like, oh, you have to be an artist or like you have to go into this or anything like that. But him loving it so much definitely just found its way into us. And like all three of us were artists and in each of our own different ways. So I don't even know when it started, really. It just kind of, I just grew up with it, I guess.
What kind of art do you like to do?
Visual art, mostly. I'm trying to get into music, and I've always loved film. So like we've always made home videos and just like cheesy, like weird 1 minute, just like SNL type skits.
I have to see one day.
Here, I'll upload it to YouTube at some point.
Yes.
but at the moment I'm focusing on visual art and also like exploring so many different types of medias. Like I was stuck to graphite and like printer paper for so long, and just it felt so limiting, but I could never like put my finger on it. I was like, what is it about this? Like I love it, but there's something it's just not enough. And then I was like, well, you know what, throw some color in there. Or I'm trying to paint on glass now and seeing how that's working out, or painting on mirrors, or using light as its own medium. So I'm in between mediums at the moment, but it's all really great.
How would you describe your process of thinking about art?
It's sort of hard to articulate, but I think it's just so insanely like focused on emotion. And then I'm sure a lot of people say that too, right? Like I think the first example that came to my head is like Picasso's Blue Period. Like he felt kind of bad, so he had literal blue paintings, you know? And I said this in a recent post of mine, but art is really the extension of the artist in all ways. And whether that's a concept that they love and then they decided to make this artwork about it, or a person that they loved and they decided to make an artwork about them, whether that's like a portrait or something more abstract, or simply just catharsis. You know, there have been so many days where I just pick up a random like sketch and I just sort of go over it with oil pastels, not even really thinking, you know, just it's just a calming, peaceful place. And the next thing I know, I look down and I've actually created something. So there's not much thought that goes into it. I think it's sort of like just what happens.
Perfect. It's funny because I just remembered my first episode that I ever had guests on. I remember we talked about art, which I just find it funny because like this is like a full circle kind of moment right here. I almost wish. Wait, this is, we're in August, right? Hold on. Wait, I need to check this. I am super duper close to my 1 year anniversary of starting the show. I just realized this. Okay, so the intro episode was August 9th. Holy shoot.
Wild. Wait, what's
today's August 4th? That's so wild. All right, this has to go up on some anniversary. This episode's going up on an anniversary date. There's no fucking way it's not. Okay.
That is dope.
That's actually so wild.
The alignment, man.
Okay, so the intro episode when I first announced it was August 9th. Episode one was like the legit episode one was August 12th. And then the episode I'm referring to right now is was my first one with guests, and we talked about art and music and film.
Oh
Like
my
the
God,
title is
yeah.
literally discussing art, music, film, and dance. Like that's literally what the title is.
That hit all
Yeah,
of
I mean, so that was like a full circle moment, and I can't believe it's right there. Like it's right around the corner. That's so sick. I didn't even realize that.
growth that must have been, you know?
That's insane. But yeah, I mean, I think I remember one of the things we were talking about in that episode was like what makes something art or and also like how do we interpret it? Is art supposed to have a meaning? I remember that's something we got in. I don't know how the hell we got into that discussion, but we did, okay? Don't judge me.
It's great. Love those questions.
But I remember we were thinking about that and talking about that. And we had no idea what we were talking about. We're just kind of philosoph I don't know what the philosophizing. I don't know. That's not a word. Falafel. Okay, whatever. But we were just kind of thinking about it and talking about it in a very theoretical sense. That would be a much better way of putting it. What the philosopher said with the okay. But like we were talking about it theoretically, and I remember were like a bunch of different things, but some things I remember were that one like it's not always about having a meaning. I think artists make whatever they want to make, and it's up to everybody else to interpret it however they want to. I remember that's one of the things we were thinking about, which also made it really annoying in English class when you have to like analyze stuff and you're like, the author is definitely not thinking about all of this. They just put shit on paper. Okay. What are we doing
100%,
here? Yeah. Choices. That was, I remember one thing we said, or what makes something art? I remember it was a big discussion. I don't even ever think we even got an answer to that question.
I mean,
But
can
I've.
we?
That's a good point. That's a good. No, that's a good point. I don't know. I don't know. But I've heard some interesting ones. I've heard a few interesting ones of what art is, and I don't remember any off the top of my head, so I can't tell you. But what would you say? What would you say would be your answer to that? Like, what is. What makes art?
Truly, I think literally anything can be art.
I
Anything.
think that's the I think that's what we said too. That's actually
Yeah,
wild.
exactly. You know, and I don't think it needs to have this sort of like profound, like existential meaning or anything
Yeah.
like that. To be considered art. There, personally, the only like classification is its existence, you know, and the fact that someone made it like consciously, like made it, you know, or made it with love, or like just
Expression.
I mean, just being, just existing as it is, as itself, you know, whether that's a shirt, for like a long sleeve shirt for the purpose of like warming someone up, you know, like sure, that's definitely a purpose, but someone made that, someone put time into that, and if that's all you need. If someone puts time into you, like that's it. Even if it's like
Yeah.
a little scratch on the wall, or I don't, literally anything.
Man, little kid me would be rejoicing hearing that. I used to take these like crayons and like just like draw random lines on the fucking wall. My mom would be so pissed, Symphony. She's because like she's the one who has to like try and like clean that shit off. And I'm just like a little kid with a red crayon, like.
Yeah, my baby brother does the exact same thing. I mean, thankfully, like
I'll try
in
to
my
like
dad's
look around,
house,
see if there still are any. Yeah,
maybe, you know, in the corners, in the corners.
that's I'm like looking in corners. Like I know there used to be like I'm looking at a spot, I know there used to be some over there, like on like there's like a little corner of the wall over here.
You should
It's
check.
also
I
funny
think they're
'cause like
different.
I have a whiteboard right here. And then I'm picturing myself with the red crayon like right below the whiteboard, like I missed
Oh my gosh.
the
Oh.
whiteboard or something. Hey,
It's awful.
So, okay, let's see. I'm just kind of like recapping everything here in my head right now. We started with how you and I met, how we started with Yes Theory and reaching out to each other and all that good stuff. And then we went into your story of living in the car and motels and chaotic laughter with your family, I suppose would be a good way of putting it. And then we talked a little bit about art. I suppose the place I would take it next is, what are some of the things you've learned or you feel have really made a big impact on you, kind of going through all of this, just like one, your life experiences and Yes Theory, and then your artwork. What are some of the things that either A made a big impact on you and that really helped you out, and things that you would want to like tell other people, like, hey, this was amazing, like this made an impact on me, maybe it can impact you too. That, and what are some of the things you've learned from it?
So I think this kind of goes back to I know I mentioned before there was like a period of time where me and my sisters were like, why is this happening to us?
Yeah.
And sort of that question of like, what did I do to deserve this? And that comes or it came up so frequently throughout the years, you know, every time something bad happened and every time there was like a fight or when I was left alone to my thoughts and or maybe even writing about it or telling someone about it, I remember thinking like, what could I have possibly done like as a child or in a past life where the cosmic energy was like, yeah, this is gonna happen to you now. Like you deserve this. And I think I'm finally coming to a point where I'm trying to understand that I didn't do anything to deserve that, you know, and that really no one deserves to be sort of treated like they don't matter, like tossed around without a care in the world, you know. They really don't. And it's not a matter of deserving, but I think it's I was talking to my sister and we were like, she's a teacher. Melody's a teacher, and in a very literal sense, but I think she's a teacher in so many other ways too, and so is Harmony, and I feel like I am too to my little brother, you know? And we were thinking, well, like what if people like everything you go through is just to grow from it? That's its purpose, you know? Like you go through these hard times or you go through these fun times to learn from them and to take that energy and that knowledge and pass it down to whoever's next, so that if my little baby brother ever happens to go through anything similar, then he kind of has a head start, you know? And same for anybody like maybe listening to the podcast or watching the videos, you know, thinking that like they don't have to go through this alone and they don't deserve it, but this is something that will just allow them to grow and just blossom, you know, because they'll be able to understand this and they'll learn empathy and learn compassion, hopefully, and they won't fall into the same steps as those who hurt them. And that's definitely something I'm trying to understand. Like, even still, when things happen, sometimes I'll kind of look at myself and be like, I just don't get it. You know, like what? What did I do? Like, I'm sorry. Like, whatever it was, just like, please just stop. Just allow me to just breathe. But then I feel like you kind of have to realize, like, you're the only one who has control of your mind. You know, you're the only one who can permit others to make you feel a certain way. And so, of course, I can't control what other people do. I can't control what other people say. But I know that, like, whatever they say to me, whatever they do to me, it's up to me to learn and grow from that and sort of transform that energy, you know? And me and my sisters specifically, like, lately we've been working on transforming, like, intergenerational trauma into art and into beauty and for other people, too. So that's definitely something I'm in the process of learning or, you know, growing from.
Oh yeah. One of my teachers who kind of serves as like a bit of a mentor for me. And I think he heard this quote somewhere that he likes to share sometimes, which was something around along the lines of pain is mandatory, but suffering is optional.
Mm-hmm.
There's going, I had a theory I remember a few years ago of like, you know, people kind of see life as like good and bad, positive, negative, happy, sad, and all these like opposites, love, hate.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to change that into something which you were kind of saying, which was you're either having fun and it's just straight joy, or it sucks, but you're learning and growing from it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of pictured it as it was either joy or it was growth. But then you said something which I also have realized, which is sometimes it sucks, but you're enjoying it and growing at the same time. So then it's like, all right, well, now it's just one weird blend thing.
Yeah.
That is this thing we call life.
No, exactly.
And then, yeah. Uh-huh. No, go for it.
I mean, it's on a spectrum, you know, not everything is so black and white. It's not, these aren't the bad guys, these aren't the good guys. It's like, you're going to get hurt, and there will be times, I've had times where, you know, you just can't get out of bed. Like, yeah. You just can't. You're just sitting there and just crying it out and then crying, yeah, and crying, you know, and just feeling it to the just deepest depths of your core, and like every part of you is just sunken in and just done, just done with everything. But you know, it's gonna happen. You're gonna have those moments. You're gonna have moments of grief. You're gonna have moments of suffering, and it's up to you to kind of pull yourself out of that, or like allow your body to acknowledge it, recognize it, and then let it go. You know, you don't need to hold it. There's no reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like he also, that same guy also taught me that all emotions are valid. So like you said, like, mm-hmm, accept it, accept those emotions, and then from there you kind of choose what to do next. I was listening to okay, this is really funny, this one of my, another like sort of mentor figure of mine, he likes to send me like podcasts or whatever every once in a while. But a couple of weeks ago, he was like, yo, man, I want to give you some CDs. And I'm like, holy crap, a CD? Like, bro, ancient technology? That's like, what, 1400s? No, I'm joking. But like, I was listening to one of them yesterday. And the guy was kind of describing what he called an interaction cycle. Starts with feelings, emotions, usually a negative one, stress, for example. And that leads to, it'll be really funny when I butcher this, because I listened to it yesterday. It's going to be great. I know it's going to happen. Fuck, what was the next one?
I'm all ears.
It's fine. But it started with emotion and kind of led into sort of your thoughts and then your behavior and then your reactions. That first part, where it's all about emotions, you can't really do anything with that. That's the part where you just accept. You feel how you feel, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you deal with it. But then the part where it kind of leads into, okay, now this is starting, okay, now you're going to that spiral of, okay, this is what I'm thinking about. Like, you feel sad and you're lying down, you can't get out of bed and you're crying and you feel sunken and all of that. And that leads into the thoughts of, why is this happening to me? And I think it's at that point when you start thinking, and then that thinking also starts to influence your behavior and your reactions. I think one of the things he was saying was emotions are always valid, but behavior, actions, those you don't have to accept. Those are the points where you can go, nah, this ain't okay. I'm gonna break the cycle right here and replace it with something else. And when you were kind of talking about how you could, like, shoot, you could have easily gone down that dark spiral of, oh, why is this happening to me? And this freaking sucks. And you talked about that sort of generational trauma kind of thing. And you could have totally ended up being the mom who kind of did the same thing to your kids, right? But you decided to not be a victim of it. And you decided, you know what, these emotions are not going to influence my behavior. I'm still gonna smile and laugh and sing Grenade in the
Exactly.
car. And decide to record a podcast with this random dude who would DM me on Instagram.
Great choice. I love it. It's going
Hell
well.
yeah. And make choices.
Yeah, I love that. I couldn't have said it better myself. I think, especially in this time now, with all of these movements happening and with people finally feeling allowed to have a voice, and thinking like I deserve this space. I deserve to speak my mind. Like it true 100%. Like you don't have to accept everyone's behavior, and especially towards you as an individual. Like if someone hurts you, you have a right to feel hurt and to voice that, and you need to remember to stop yourself from hurting other people. And it's just, I love that so much. It's amazing. I mean, yeah, emotions, you can't control them, but what you actually do with them, that's severely on you. I love that.
And I think for a lot of people it's unconscious. I don't think a lot of us realize that. I mean, I still don't. Sometimes I still fuck it up. In fact, the
Of
guy I
course.
remember in his CD, I remember the guy was like, "Yeah, I know all this, right?" And there was this one time, because I talk about it all the time, so my kid would know. Like, my kid was 9, and then I got angry, and then I was letting that influence my behavior, and my kid just, like, totally, like, he's 9 years old, and he just screws me over and tells me my own advice. And I'm like, man.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
Like, you go, kid. I don't know how old that kid is now. I thought that was a great story. But, like, we all mess it up, but sometimes, I think you said something earlier, which was about how, like, you're still trying to learn and grow with all those, like, even though everything you were saying was like solid advice and solid things you've learned and things that have really helped you still acknowledge, like, yeah, sometimes I still mess it up or sometimes I still struggle with it. And like, sometimes, like, we know the answers, like, we know what we need to do. We know, thinking about why is this happening to me, we know that's a bad idea. We like, duh. It doesn't take a genius to know, oh, this is a terrible idea. Why am I doing this to myself? But when you're in that situation, it's really easy to think about it.
It's like falling down a rabbit hole.
Sometimes you just kind of need the reminder a little bit.
And it's actually funny that you mentioned that, because I was talking to another friend just yesterday about how like healing isn't linear.
Yes.
It's not like, oh, this is rock bottom, it's only up from here. I wish it was, but it's not. It's by not by any means. Like you can take 5 steps forward and then 10 steps back type thing. It's just a matter of like keep going, keep trying, and trying not to fall into this like unconscious cycle where you don't know what you're doing. You don't know the impact you're having on other people. Like with empathy, with compassion, I think it's so important to learn mindfulness, to be aware of everything you're doing. And that might seem like an inconvenience to people, but I think it's so beautiful to really appreciate and understand, like, not only what you're doing, but what's happening around you. You know, even now, like, there's like a breeze going through the window, and it's nice to know that and to feel that and to think like, oh, well, that's connected to this system, which is happening with that, and like Mother Nature. And, you know, it's just everything feels calmer personally when you realize that you're just one little person, and that doesn't make you any less. It just means that you're a part of this bigger system, and to acknowledge yourself is to acknowledge your role in the system. And then you kind of realize that like it's all right.
That's really, really well put. Wow. I really like that. You said something which triggered like something in my head, which was something I heard a long time ago, which was really cool, with the breeze and how it's connected. In Hawaiian, you know how they say aloha, which is like hi and like the greeting. Mm-hmm. I remember I watched a video. It was like a short documentary. It was a short film. I watched it a while back, but I remember this Hawaiian guy was saying, aloha actually isn't really like just hi. In traditional Hawaiian, the way they would do it is they would press their foreheads against each other, mm-hmm. and then they would breathe in and out together. Alo means face, ha means breath. And it symbolized the exchange of life force, is kind of how they thought of it. As you breathe in and out together, you're exchanging life force with each other. But then he went into this whole speech, which I wish I could like repeat to you because it was brilliant. But he was basically saying something along the lines of, we aloha everything. Our land, our sky, our water, our fucking, I don't know, computer screen, I don't know. Like where every breath is like an exchange of life with the rest of the world. And I know that sometimes people hear those kinds of things and they're like, who cares, dude? Mm-hmm. But I think for me, it wasn't about, like, it's to an extent, it is true because that's how nature works. But to me, it was that sense of almost wonder that it kind of provides. Because, like, you breathe after listening to that and you're like, oh shit, this is like, breathing's kind of cool. But you're like, breathing's hella normal, right? But like, you breathe after that and you're like, oh wow. And you kind of gain that sense of almost like a newborn baby, that sense of wonder of everything.
Yeah.
And life becomes a little bit more, you can kind of appreciate the little things a little bit more. And I think the more you can do that, that's just, well, I don't give a fuck if life is actually wonderful. I just know I'm having a blast over here.
You know, can I go on like a tangent real quick?
Go for it.
That's really funny because I'm just so fascinated by like indigenous cultures, like as a whole, because, you know, obviously as severely different as they may seem, there's this like underlying commonality of appreciation for the world around you in all sorts of ways, right? Like just like in Hawaiian culture, in Maori culture, they have the exact same thing where you like press foreheads and noses, and it's this sort of acknowledgement of each other and this like love happening. And I mean, it's just it's just so fascinating, you know. And like me and my sister, me and my sisters have never been like religious or anything like that. So we don't, it's not a common thing in our house to like pray. But what we did start doing, which I suppose would be a form of prayer, but like every time, like right before we eat or before we go to sleep or something like that, we kind of just take a moment to sort of thank the earth for growing this food and those who picked it and all the hands and machinery went through to get to our table, and like just the fact that it was here and in this moment, and that we're taking in this nutrients through our own bodies. And water, I mean, water has memory. Like, how wicked.
This is half a fucking gallon. Like, it's ridiculous.
Imagine everything that has gone through, and now it's going through your body, and it's taking in all of you, and then it's going somewhere else. But there's such beauty in that I feel like so many people overlook. And, you know, again, like what you said, like, you might say this to someone and it goes in one ear right out the other, but if they take the time to really understand it and just try to appreciate it, or try to be a little more mindful of the world around them, I feel like it'll just bring so much energy to your life, because then you step outside and it's like appreciation. And then again, when you're in dark times, all you have to do is look around you and realize that, like, there's a whole system here. There's a whole, every tiny little thing has life and memory, and I'm taking it in. I'm here in this moment. I'm breathing it in. And we're just coexisting as one. And I think that's such a calming thing to experience, but also just really beautiful in general.
Hell yeah. I'm gonna kind of end off the episode. Actually, wait. Is there anything else you want to share before I ask my last question?
No.
Okay. So my last question is always the same. I kind of think of it as the final lesson, I suppose. The final thing that's really said, which is, there's going to be listeners who have listened through to the entire episode, and they've heard everything that we've talked about and all of our topics, including some tangents. And they've heard everything. And I always like to think of episodes as putting out something that the audience can take some value out of it. Hopefully, you know, it's something that they enjoy, but I hope that there's something valuable that they can take from it.
Mm-hmm.
And just like how I kind of thought about it with art, anyone can take away whatever they feel, right? But I do like to end off the episode by getting the artist's own meaning. So I suppose I would ask you, if, you know, for the people who are listening through to the end, what is the one or two or three things that you hope somebody would take away from hearing your story?
I genuinely think it would just be to be mindful and to acknowledge yourself first, you know, acknowledge your emotions, allow yourself to feel those emotions, like, to not invalidate them. And not do that to anyone else. But once you've started that journey, then to realize and to acknowledge and appreciate everything around you too. Because it'll just bring so much energy to your life.
Mm-hmm. A friend of mine told me once, I'm going to find the exact quote for you. I'm going to find it. I'm going to send it to you because I think you're going to like it. But he was kind of just saying, we're all kind of artists. We all create something, whether that's a traditional art form or not. But the greatest art piece we ever make is our own life. Enjoy it. Make the best of it, right? That's what it comes down to. Yeah, I'm going to find the exact quote for you because you're going to like it. I know you are. I'm going to have to find it. I know I have it somewhere.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. Don't play a backseat in your life. Don't let other people, like, tell
you. Oh, yeah.
Like, right? Like, just kind of toss you around. Like,
yeah, anybody who tries to take the driver's seat, be like, fuck you. Give me my paintbrush back. This is my canvas.
I want this color.
I want this color, not that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Love it. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to, listeners, I'm going to put Symphony's Instagram in the episode description, as well as the Yes Theory video that she was on. And I don't know if there's anything else you want me to shout out, because I will literally put whatever you tell me to.
No, that's all good for me. Thank you.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to put those two things so you can go check her out. And thanks for listening.
Boom. I mean, amazing, amazing story, but more importantly to me, an amazing human. I think that's pretty clear. But I do want to say something before I wrap this up. I don't know who listening to this is going through something, or perhaps is holding on to a painful past experience. But I do want to say this. I hope you not only get inspired by this story and by Symphony's character, but I hope you also start to grasp the subtleties of how Symphony was able to move past the victim mentality of why is this happening to me, and into the bright, radiating, joyous, loving person that she is today. And I do want to talk briefly about some of the subtleties that I noticed, and maybe you see some different ones, but this is just what I noticed. Number one. Being surrounded by positivity makes it really, really hard to be negative. Symphony talked about how her sisters finding those reasons to smile and laugh and sing really helped her out. And I think it's that magnification effect, right? Someone is feeling some joy and has found that reason to smile, laugh, sing. And so it brings up everybody else, and they all rise together, because now it's not just one person who feels that, it's three people, and that energy only multiplies. And if you had people who are negative and pulling you down, and if you're in that environment, then it becomes not just one person feeling that, but then it's three people, and that energy only is what multiplies. So the environment matters, and it's not just physical environment, it's what you give attention to. So simple things like what you watch online, who you engage with on a Zoom call or on text, whatever, that makes a big difference. So that's number one. Number two, we talked a little bit about how Yes Theory kind of feels like they heal, and how it's because they make life really, really simple. And I think that sometimes we might feel that life is really complicated, but I think especially in those moments of when we're facing challenges and difficulties and feeling a bit of an emotional wreck, making life simple is what keeps us from being overwhelmed. So that's lesson number two. And lesson number three that I got was actually feeling the emotions that you're feeling and not judging it as part of the human experience. What matters is choosing how you act after feeling those emotions. That is taking back the paintbrush of your life, so to speak. So those are some of the things that I picked up on, and maybe you picked up on some more. But I'd encourage you to really think on that and maybe write them down or something. And, you know, maybe they can help you in your life. I hope you guys enjoyed. Of course, you can check more of Symphony out in the episode description. And I'll see you in the next episode. Until then, have a fantastic rest of your day.